Before we begin, this is for the person who has done everything right. You've built the career, you became dependable, you created the life you were supposed to want. And maybe, quietly, you've asked yourself, is this it? Not because you're ungrateful and not because anything is wrong, but because something doesn't feel alive anymore. You might notice it in small ways, the tight jaw, the restless sleep, that subtle sense that you're moving through your days instead of actually living them. That feeling isn't failure, friend. It's what happens when you outgrow a life shaped by expectations you never consciously chose. At 5-Year U, we help successful people step back into agency safely. Not by blowing up your life and not by making dramatic changes, but by creating intentional shifts that actually fit who you are now. And if you're curious whether this is something that could support you, we offer a complimentary clarity call. It's not a sales call. There's no pressure. It's simply a space to explore where you are, what's shifted, and whether working together with us makes sense. If something in you is leaning towards that conversation, you can book one at 5yearu.com. Now let's begin with the show.
Welcome to the 5-Year U Podcast, a show dedicated to helping you become the best version of yourself one day at a time. I'm Andrew.
And I'm Kat, and we promise to keep it raw, real, and relatable.
Are you ready to grow?
Hey, 5 Tribe, you can be your best, you can show up for everyone, you can accomplish things, you can heal, you can grow, but you can still have that quiet feeling of somehow knowing that you're just not enough. Today's episode is Why Do I Still Feel Like I'm Not Enough? And it's going to probably hit home for a lot of us. I know this topic is really hitting home for me. I'm Andrew, and with me always is Kat. How are you doing today, Kat?
I'm doing really good. How are you?
I am doing really good. You know, when you brought up this topic, I'm like, it really does hit home quite hard. You came up with it. What are your thoughts of this?
I came up with it because I think people would benefit from knowing that this is a universal human feeling and human experience. I think it'd be very rare to find somebody who feels like completely fulfilled, completely healed, so that they feel like they have inherent value in the world. This is one of our challenges as humans navigating the world, is learning how to acknowledge this within ourselves and try to find a way to embrace and overcome it at the same time.
I like that, embrace and overcome it, because I think you have to welcome that this is just a state that happens. And you know what? It can show up in any area of your life. So you might be doing super great with work. You might be feeling fulfilled and everything, but then it might show up in your relationships or parenting or just money or how you look, how you feel, your growth journey. All these things of, you know, just not feeling enough, they rear its ugly head. And usually at the time, we really don't want them to, because that's how growth goes, right? Like, you'll be thinking, oh man, you know, I'm doing so good with my money. And then you get hit with a car bill and you just feel like, oh, I'm the worst. I wasn't where I thought I was. Or you just have that kind of that sense of like, I should be further ahead than where I am right now. Is that kind of the feeling that you get with it? Or what is it for you?
Yeah, I feel like at the phase of life I'm in right now, and I know a lot of other mothers can relate to this, it feels like if you are good enough in one category, you're not good enough in another. Like, it does feel impossible in our modern society to feel like a good enough mom, a good enough partner, a good enough daughter, sister, worker, everything. So it does feel like if you have a really good work day, you may be like, feel guilty for not spending enough time with your kids. Or if you spend enough time with your kids, you maybe feel guilty you didn't pay enough attention to your partner or something like that.
Yeah.
That's the not good enough feeling. It's like, there's never a day where you feel like you checked all the category boxes.
No. And for the record, you are a great partner, not a really good one, but a great one.
Nah, thanks.
And yeah, I think for me, it's that sense of like, it used to be, I need to prove myself, I need to earn everything. And when I got something wrong, it was, never thought about myself as a perfectionist until something goes wrong. And then you're so angry and upset with yourself that it didn't work out. And that's something that we all can really relate to, I think, is having the best laid plans that don't go according to plan, and then that adjustment that has to happen afterwards. So yeah, like, it's such a challenging thing. I know, like, the kids have it. I know we have it. I think everybody has it.
What I believe it feels like for a lot of people is this underlying pressure. And it's a pressure we place on ourselves. It's a pressure that society places on us. It is sort of a culmination of marketing and social media and upbringing and comparison that makes it just impossible to feel like what we are doing is enough and valuable, that there's just this feeling that you can always do something more, that the work is never done. You could have always been more present with the kids, or more loving, or eaten better, or whatever it is. I think we hold ourselves to this impossible standard. And so I know for me, it feels like an internal pressure and anxiety, and it is challenging for sure.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you for that. I think the question that we all should ask ourselves is, like, where does not enough show up loudest in your life? I know for us, it rears its ugly head in a few topics more than it does in other ones. But those ones that you are feeling constantly behind, where you're feeling like that struggle is there and that you need to be able to always be achieving, those are usually the areas that need the most examination. Because I can safely say that when you are working towards this stuff and you're chasing your goals and your dreams and all this stuff, and you're becoming the 5-year you that you want to be, those setbacks can be really, really challenging. And we have to allow ourselves that to come up. Like, you're still enough. You've always been enough. That's the bottom line of all of this, is that you were worthy. You were worthy before you started this, and you're still worthy, and you're going to be worthy after it. But it's an internal feeling that you need to examine as to why do I feel this way on this topic all the time?
Yeah, I think it's important to know where the feeling comes from. And I mean, for most of us, the internal voices that we have are the voices that we heard growing up. So depending on the type of family that you grew up in, you learned when you got approval and when you got praise. And for many people, they got approval when they did well in school, when they were helping, when they were behaving, when they were making life easier for their parents. For other people, maybe they had comparison. Maybe their parents were very intense, like sports coaches, or compared against siblings or peers. And anytime there's criticism on the outside of you as a child, it becomes your inner voice. And, you know, when you make mistakes, depending on how harshly you were punished for them, it can lead to a lot of stress and anxiety. That's why a lot of people become perfectionists. So for many of us, especially those of us in our 30s and 40s. So if you're Gen X and millennials, it's very common to have baby boomer parents who really tied approval and praise to your performance. And that's where self-worth comes from. And I think for us, you know, we are trying to do something different, but it's really hard. You know, it's a very like millennial thing. I don't know if it's a Gen X thing to praise the effort, not the result. And like, I know for me, I'm just constantly having to consciously rewire the words that I say to the kids, because it's not the wiring that already exists in my head.
Yeah. And that is a big challenge, especially with the kids, is to be able to embrace the fact that it is the journey. It is the effort that you put forth. And I'm sure 20 years from now, our kids are going to be going like, I can't believe they did this for effort. It's created all these new issues. Nobody escapes parenting or childhood unscathed. But yeah, that perfectionism showing up and that tying all your results to performance, it's a losing battle. You're never going to feel good. Like, look, if you want to hit a certain number on the scale and you hit it today, and then you don't do anything different, and tomorrow it goes up for whatever reason, you're going to hate yourself. You're going to feel bad about these things, because life isn't about a straight line trajectory. It's learning to embrace the ups and downs that are naturally going to ebb and flow in your life, and be able to go, I'm still good. I'm still worthy. I'm still, I want to say, like, perfect in my own way, meaning that we are born perfect and we're just conditioned to believe otherwise. No, you were you were meant to go through life and have these ups and downs. And I think the downs hurt so much that whenever we have these moments of you didn't get 100% on the test, or if me, you didn't get 70% on the test, and, you know, all these other things that happen, we just beat ourselves up. And that, you know, like the whole system's rigged that way. Like, you don't go to school, at least for me, you know, you go to school and you have to get A's and B's, or at least bare minimum, you got to pass. And every test is, whether you're parents are comparing you or the classes, there is that internal thing like, I got this, somebody got better. You don't really care who got worse than you, but you know, like, you're always, the system is created for you to compare against everyone, and comparison is just going to make you feel terrible every time, because we don't look at things and go, yay, look at me, I did so much better than this other person. You always look at the person that did better and go, mm-hmm. Wow, I didn't do enough.
Yeah, and I think that's what our coaching clients really benefit from. The core of our teaching is to walk people through the process of going through life from the inside out. What do you think? What do you believe? How does that make you feel? Versus going through life, basing all of our decisions on external factors. And it's called The Layers of Life. We have a very detailed podcast episode on it if you want to search that and listen to it. But the truth is that achievement only gives temporary relief. Getting to a goal only hits, you know, happiness for a short amount of time. The only way to get true, long-lasting approval of yourself is to develop it from your inner core belief, to recapture how you felt as a little kid, as a baby, you know, born worthy and perfect. All of these things that we believe, all of the words that you have in your head, all of the criticisms, all the things that make you push yourself are all from outside of you. And so we teach people how to get back to the inner parts of themselves. And for a lot of people, we get a lot of high achievers who are like, wait, I don't need to worry about what's next. What's the next promotion? How do I get the next big title at work? Will my parents finally be proud of me when I'm the chief executive of this thing? And they start asking themselves, how do I actually want to spend my day? Is it worth having to work till 7 p.m. every night just so I can have this big title or this bigger paycheck? And once people actually go into the core of themselves and find out what they really want and start living in alignment, that's when those feelings of self-worth and value really come.
Yeah. And that is a big thing with our coaching clients, is to uncondition, would that be the right word? Uncondition, yeah. a lifetime. Of automatic responses and behaviors that are all based on, I need to go further, farther, faster, and, you know, be the best. Most of us are miserable with that. You know, like, we go through these things, and I think it's a rite of discovery that most of us will go through, people that are in personal growth definitely do, where you're going through it and you're like, wait, why am I doing this again? Why am I making myself run a half marathon every day because I hate running and I'm supposed to be a certain, why am I supposed to be this way? I don't even want to look the way I'm trying to look. You know, somebody else wants me to look that way, so I've done that. And we really bring it back to the self and to the soul. And these are our two first coaching calls. We focus on soul and self in our layers of life. And they are the things that really allow a person for the first time ever to examine themselves and go, what do I actually want? I'm actually going through the program again myself, because it's just such a eye-opening experience. The more you do it, the more you look at it and you're like, wow, yeah, things have changed. I'm enjoying this. Wow, I don't know why I am forcing myself to do these things still when I don't enjoy them. I mean, who needs the shower, right? I mean, like, I'm just kidding. But we have to understand that if our problem is self-worth, no amount of achievement is going to make you feel good enough. It will be a temporary fix. It's a Band-Aid solution. And you have spent your life putting on Band-Aids thinking it was going to heal the wound underneath. And until you address the wound, until you look at it and go, wow, this wound was made from somebody else's beliefs, and I don't need to buy into that crap anymore, I'm going to choose differently, that is when you can actually start to fix it. But most of us are, maybe the next promotion will make me feel better. Maybe the next car, maybe the next trip. None of that's going to work. It's going to make you feel good in the moment. But until you deal with that underlying thing and actually come from a soul standpoint, it's just Band-Aids. And that's kind of hard to hear.
Yeah, we talk about this a lot on the show. And and we've mentioned it in several episodes before, but a really interesting example, I think, of doing what you actually want to do, not what everyone expects you to do, is what Andrew and I have done with our housing, right? We have both owned beautiful homes, beautiful neighborhoods with green grass and landscaping and all the fixings and everything that you're supposed to quote unquote want. And everything that shows everyone else that you have achieved this sort of place in society, that you're a successful, worthy human being. And, you know, through a variety of experiences and years, we have both let go of all of those expectations. We're both in much smaller spaces. He is in a condo and I'm in an apartment, and we go back and forth between the two. You know, my house doesn't look like a lot of my kids' friends' houses. And it is such a relief. And we had to ask ourselves, like, what do we actually want to do? How do we actually want to spend our time? Do we want to spend our time renovating, DIYing, you know, doing the lawnmower stuff?
Yeah.
And for a lot of people, they get a lot of joy from that. doing lawnmower stuff.
You know, I love that. I love that.
Whatever that thing's for. And, you know, or do we...
I'm sorry. That was just really funny.
Happy to have made you snort laugh today. All right. For me, outsourcing lawnmower stuff to companies to mow the grass and do whatever. But it's like, how do we actually want to spend our time and our money? And it's just been such a relief for both of us. Now, some people get a lot of joy out of gardening. There's people who retire and downsize and really miss having a garden. You know, that's just not us. But this is kind of what we're talking about. Going through the big decisions that you've made in your life that impact your mental health, your finances, your family, and saying, do I actually want this? Or was I told to want this by society? And that's the process that we go through.
Yeah. And I worked at a pretty big company for a good chunk of my career. And there was a hierarchy, and everybody wanted to climb this ladder. And I'm sharing this example just to kind of, so it can be a little more relatable. Everybody wanted the next position and then the next position and next position. And I got in there and I hated the job that I was doing, but then they put me in a job that I really liked and I was suited for it and everything else. And I was told, you're going to be pigeonholed here. You're not going to be able to climb them. And my reply was, that's great. I enjoy the work that I do with this. I don't want to go get 100 different promotions and everything else. I like what I'm doing and I'm going to stick with that because I'd rather be happy doing the work I'm doing and get paid a little less than do a job that I hate, which pays me more.
Yeah.
And that is like literally putting a price tag on your happiness right there. And I would talk to people and like they would be going for the next, you know, interviews. And I'd say like, do you actually want to do this job? And the answer every time was no, but it's more money. And there are so many people that go into careers and go into life with that aspect. And it's not a high and mighty thing, but it's just, you know, an extra $5,000 a year on your paycheck is going to be an extra $20 a month or every 2 weeks. And is that actually worth, is that the price of your happiness? Is $20 every 2 weeks the price of your doing a job that makes you happy or a job that makes you miserable? And that was the process that I used. If you're going to climb the ladder of success, you need to make sure it's leaning against the right wall. Or otherwise, you're going to get to the top and go, shoot, I'm on the wrong building. I got to go back down and do this all over again.
Exactly. And, you know, we're big fans of having goals and doing things that fulfill you. Just make sure that the goals that you have are ones that you've looked internally and really decided for yourself, this is actually something I want to do. All right. So I want to shift a little bit and explain for anybody that's feeling less than, for anyone who's always felt not good enough from the time they were little till now, how to start the process of feeling like they're good enough. Is it possible, Andrew, for all of us to feel good enough?
It would be so terrible. I'm like, nope, can't do it.
Thanks for tuning in.
Thanks for watching. I'll see you next time. Yes, it is. And it comes from accepting the fact that it is an internal satisfaction. It is, you need to separate your worth from your performance. And most of us have never done that. We need to be able to understand that we are doing, no matter what happens, no matter what our result is, our worthiness never changes. It can only, and for most of us, we have to grow our worthiness from the inside out. Most of us don't have never done that. I personally am working on that right now because, yeah, a lot of it is tied to, you know, stuff from a long time ago where you just have to understand that whether I do great or I do bad, I'm still worthy of the life that I've got right now. And I'm worthy of all the greatness that I want to achieve with my goals, whether I achieve them or not. So the first thing you have to do is just give yourself credit, give yourself space, and love yourself. And I know that sounds very new agey, but there's a reason why we bring this stuff up is because if you're not doing these things, you're not healing that wound underneath. You're just going to look for more band-aids. So you need to collect evidence of your enoughness. And it can be, you know, I showed up. I cared for this person today. I tried. I failed and I tried again. I told the truth. I rested when I needed to. That last one's been a real big one for both of us too, is actually accepting like, you know what? I'm tired right now. I'm going to rest. Yes, there's still a million things that I want to do, but the body is cashing out tonight and it needs to stop.
Yeah.
Another thing we can do is just to practice receiving. Getting a compliment and hearing it and saying thanks is often our default mode of ignoring the good thing that's coming in. So just practice receiving. Don't deflect. Don't say, if somebody says you look nice today, don't say thanks, you too. That's just a deflection. You didn't let it in. Just smile and say thank you and let it in. And you're going to, you'll know when you let it in because you feel it like right here in your heart. Yeah, it kind of has a little bit of an expansion going on and you just allow yourself to do that. Do you have any? I got a few more, but I'm sure you do
too. Yeah. Well, one of them I really like, and that, again, this is another thing I really try to impart to the kids, is that stop auditioning for love. Stop auditioning for people to love you. It is painful when you go through breakups. It's painful when friends or colleagues or parents don't have an interest in you like you wish they did or exclude you from things. Those things are painful. And the reason they're relevant to this topic about self-worth is because so many of us attach other people's decisions about us to our self-worth. So a big thing that I try to teach the kids is like, anybody would be lucky to hang out with you. It's their loss. They're missing out on a great person. They're missing out on a wonderful, trusting friend. Anybody would be lucky to be in the same room as you. And if they don't realize it, that is their problem and not yours. The right people for you, your truest friends and your greatest loves and your biggest supporters, will always want to be there rooting for you and being around your aura. If you have to constantly beg somebody to be interested in you, then it's they are not worthy of being in your airspace.
Yeah.
So stop auditioning for love. The more that you take on that power and that confidence of people are lucky to be around me, I'm a nice person, I'm a good person, I'm a good friend, the more you're going to attract the people who are meant for you and who are going to be good supports in your life.
I love that. I think the big takeaway with all of this is that you were never supposed to earn it. You were never supposed to earn your worthiness, your love, your accomplishments. You were good enough from the start. And a system imposed itself on you. And because you were too young to know better, you believed it because everybody else around you was believing it. And you don't need to buy into that anymore. It's a false concept. It doesn't mean you stop growing and it doesn't mean things aren't going to change and this is going to be an evolution. But you grow now instead of punishment of like, oh, I need to get better at this. You grow from a place of I love myself enough and I want to see this growth within me. And if you're still trying to earn your worth, just ask, where am I doing that? Where in my life am I still trying to earn my worth? Why am I doing that? And if I believed I was enough, what would that feel like? And I really want you to lean into that last one. When you can start to just embody that feeling of being worthy, your days are going to change. People are going to want to be around you more. The right people are going to want to be around you more. The bad people are going to disappear. We've gone through this ourselves, and it's kind of like a without fail type of thing. When you are worthy, it just, life gets a lot better, a lot quicker. And you are worthy. I know you intimately, dear listener, and you are worthy because you are here and you deserve the best life.
The perfect way to end.
So what's your glimmer for this week, Kat? What's your little shiny thing that's lighting you up and making you happy?
I know that we are recording evergreen content, meaning people can listen to this all year round. But yesterday was Mother's Day, and I will say that the twins did a really nice job of planning the day. I asked them to plan a day. I asked them a few weeks in advance and reminded them. I was like, it'd be really nice if, like, I didn't have to plan my own day, you know. And they did a great job. We had beautiful weather, nice picnic, and had nice quality one-on-one time with each one of them at different points in the day. So it was really, really good.
I love that. My glimmer is yesterday, it was Mother's Day, and I went and spent it with my mom. And then afterwards, I had some time for myself. And I went to the Leaf, which, if you've ever been to Winnipeg, which most people haven't, there's this kind of like indoor space that's got like all these tropical plants. And there's like a Mediterranean zone. There's a butterfly sanctuary. And I went there because it was a nice day outside. I was the only one in there, and I got to just sit and read my book. And it was, I just love those moments. I love having a restaurant all to myself. I love having any place all to myself because it's just such a nice, serene moment. It was really, really cool. So that was my glimmer for you.
Thanks so much.
Thank you so much for listening. And we will see you next time.
Hey guys, quick disclaimer. We're podcasters on the internet. If you need to seek professional help, please go see your healthcare professional.